In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronic Goals, this is not your average show.
We'd like to welcome everyone to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. I'm with my dog, man. What's happening?
Yeah, what's cracking?
And tonight we have one of our, I like to say, friend of the show. One of the most legendary lyricists of our time.
Kia.
The narrator.
Nigga.
For real. To the motherfucker.
Double U's up, man. You do know that. So, yeah, we here to support the homies and everything love.
Yeah, we kind of kicking this off, man. We probably had the coldest motherfucking interview that never came out ever, dog. Because
bro,
the sound got fucked up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Over at the homies' crib, it was the ambiance, the so-called ambiance was right. We had the fire crackling in the background that warped over the sound and shit.
But you know the Almighty, you don't never make mistakes, man. And he said something probably about that. Maybe it was the vibe or something that somebody else would have seen it and took it the wrong way.
Or yeah, maybe, for real.
And you never know. So the Almighty was like, yeah, we don't put the kibosh on this. Y'all gonna try it again. Y'all... keep on practicing until you perfect the craft. But I see what you're doing, but not this one. Till then, nigga, static call it. Dang, dang.
Yeah, for sure, man. I know you about a happy motherfucker right now, though, dog.
Why is that?
Because some of them classic albums about to start hitting them DSPs pretty soon, man.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I don't get all excited because, you know, if you've been on a roller coaster ride that I've been through from Death Row, there ain't no excitement. I believe shit when it go ahead and circles and come back down and lands on Earth with all 10 toes on the Earth, then that's when it matters. You know, it's a lot of hearsay and conjecture and speculations and yada yadas and whatnot.
Are you waiting for that? Like a lot of us.
I've been telling
you, know, everybody been hitting, you know, I've been getting the emails, you know, from lawyers and everybody. We can send the the cease and desist letters and all that shit, they coming out the woodworks
out the woodworks on me too. But I have been telling people since a long time ago. I was telling Cass from day one when Cass was like, ask for your change at when I was kind of doing bad when I was putting my CDs on the block, and you know, niggas was talking. I mean, what's wrong with that nigga? He woo, 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 woo. Nigga must have got over on him. In all honesty, they didn't. I didn't sell my publishing. That's why I was one of the number one enemies. He ain't sell no publishing. We can't eat off of X because he ain't give us no dibs in his publishing. So we not put him on this, that, and that. That's what happened.
So let's elaborate a little bit, man. For those that don't know, because we talking to a lot of people that don't know how the music industry really functions. For y'all that don't know, your publishing is your writer's portion of a song. That's your mailbox money. That's your actual intellectual property that you have in the song.
That's how you live.
Your writers and all that stuff, all that good shit.
When you want to get groceries, you want a hamburger, without it's probably going to come out one of those checks that come to the mailbox. You know, a lot of cats don't know when they get into the game. Like, I didn't know. I had a homegirl that told me a few things. She was like, don't be giving up this, don't do that, don't do that. And don't sign this paperwork. I said, okay, so that's what's up. In certain situations, I think I was more naive and stubborn than actually knowing what was going on. Because I just felt in my heart of hearts, like, homie, if I make that skateboard and put them wheels on it, that's my skateboard. So if you come down here talking about you want to swoopty my hoopty, well, you got to get permission from me. I made that skateboard, homie. And I felt the same thing about the writing. Like, hold on. Why am I going to give you all the money for the stuff that I wrote? And then when Cass was giving me their logic on that, it wasn't making sense. Oh, so it's, you know, that's how it's done. I'm like, that's how it's done where?
But was this the label? Was this?
This was talking about publishing. Dead. This is the role. I ain't finna put nobody. I ain't finna say nothing. But it was the role, and they was like, yeah, you know, you got to pay the role. You got to get a role. You're publishing, and I'm like, no.
Well, a lot of
I ain't never agreed to that.
I think the era from music from day one with labels and artists and whatever. Labels always sought after securing your publishing.
Yeah.
You get me? It was another way for them to secure
slavery. That,
you know, so I think it was every label's approach as far as signing an artist to try to secure their publishing because that's that long withstanding money. And, you know, I think everybody went through that
It was a thing. Taking your publishing was a thing.
Did you face a lot of resistance by not giving up your publishing?
Yeah, I faced a lot of resistance because everybody was like, X, you know, when you was hearing all the nasty shit about me. And that was done so I wouldn't be out there doing my own thing, gloating and flossing in front of them with the change that I'm getting off mine because I don't have to give mine to this cat.
Mm.
Be honest with you, when Dre Dre had just got Suge had went and bought a two-door black joint. And Dre had the brown joint. He had speakers all down the side of that joint. Stupid. I was like, oh. I made a couple moves and I ran and got me one. This was about years before none of the homies was starting to see their money. And the only reason I was able to do that, because I didn't give it up. I was like, nah, I'm not. You know? And I made told some people we can speak, and they think they was like, well, can I get a percentage of it? And then I start thinking that might be feasible, but once you start that, it's like it's all bad. Once you get somebody in the door, now they in your house. Mm. I ain't giving up no publishing, because now you gotta wait until they contract, until they think that the terms have been sufficient, and you go your way and they go their way. They're gonna be in your mix for forever.
Well, what's going on with the catalog right now? With the whole, because this, we talking in specific, you know, the Chronic catalog, man.
Well, the Chronic right now is at Interscope, from what I'm hearing, and by all accounts, they striving to get things 100 with all the individuals. Like, they want all the nefarious entities up out of there. Now, you know, wherever it was at, it was some people that had their hands in the cookie jar. Well, when it got pulled down, they was no longer able to, and they ain't had the power to pull it up. They was just some entities, you know. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact when we was writing that joint, it was only three folks in the building, Dre, Snoop, and myself. Then we go look at it, and it's time to get paid. It's about 8 writers on there. Now, surely you're going to have people getting paid or writers for the sample.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But for the actual writing, and that was me and Snoop.
Did they credit you for writing? So do you have songs that's ready to
let
come
me
up?
Ride? Yeah.
Okay.
Let me ride.
So has anybody contacted you on stuff about, you know, that's finna come up to date, and what's your ownership percentage and all of that?
50%.
So you wrote
25%, 12.5, 12. Yeah, I'm on my 10 and those. It's just that. This situation has been going on for a while, and you know it's like Charlotte's Web. When you're going in there and striving to make it correct, you can't just go in there and you got all, like I said before, the nefarious entities that with they convoluted in weird ways. When they was on their way out, they put their little kibosh on. They not gonna make it easy for nobody coming after them. So the people that come after them, it's not going to be no 5 or 10 people. You're going to have to get a whole crew to come in and administrate this whole mess.
Because it's still a real valuable catalog.
Oh, it's
a real valuable piece of catalog.
Mega valuable, but you got to get it right. And I think that's what this is Dre's baby.
So just so I got this clear, and we're not out here spreading no false information, Dre has the rights to the Chronic. He bought the rights back. That's his album now, right?
It's always been his album as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, that's the word, you know. And the reason I'm saying that is because
you can now pull it up on stream.
Right, and that's why I'm saying it.
You couldn't listen
to
the
Chronic. My folks is now striving to,
like, Spotify or Pandora or
gone.
Anything.
It was gone.
You could never listen to any of it.
And my bottom line was crushed because of that. Like, I'm going to keep it a buck. Like, you know, I go out and do my little hustling thing, and that's all good. But the mainstay and the bread and the butter was my Chronic stuff. You dig?
So when you was making a nice piece of money off of that.
Right. When you get to messing with my bread and butter, it's a problem. But then I understood why. I didn't at first. Then one of my cats called me and was like, calm down. Going to have to bite the bullet.
They had to get everything right. They had to get the administration right.
We're striving to do that now. It ain't nothing that my folks did bad. It ain't nothing nobody did sideways.
Well, usually it ain't people all the time trying to be foul. It's sometimes just people not having the thorough understanding of the business
of what's going on.
Because a lot of us just got into the business blind like a motherfucker. Mm-hmm.
A motherfucker.
Just to be able to just go into the studio and make
a motherfucker and slide to the content. Shit. Remember the content was popping just to go. I slide up in there with $500, nigga. I'm getting fits.
I mean, you really wasn't too knowledgeable about
back in the day,
publishing and all that shit. You know,
no,
we was just young cats who was trying to look. To get in the studio and try to make it out of the motherfucking situation.
And if my homegirl had not said, don't give it up, who knows what would have happened. But she said, whatever you do, X, don't sell nobody your publishing. I said, no. She said, no, that's your money. You don't need that. I said, well, so when cats came at me, in a way, twisted kind of way, that really put the red flags up. Like, you know how that go. Like, I like that nigga. Okay, nigga. I don't like the way that went down. Now, you definitely ain't getting shit. That's what happened.
Because you never, after the Chronic, you went to sign with Dre at Aftermath when he left, right?
Yeah.
And then you left Dre and you went on your, because I remember you was on the attack for a minute. For a little hot second, you was throwing some darts.
Not really. I was just always being an MC. We was always, that's the camp we came in, you dig? You always had to be on toes with any MC. So if...
You just felt like it was friendly competition.
It was friendly competition. It was like, the way I took things, like if I played football, or we was playing football, and I played for Pittsburgh, and you played for whoever you played for, and you was running the rock, I'm going to try to knock your face off, homie. Mm-hmm. But after the game is over, when I see you at the club, it's all good. And some people don't take it like that. They took when I went at them or when I was doing my thing, they took it, RBX is tripping. I really wasn't, but I don't really care how they take it no more. I mean, whatever. Mm-hmm.
If you, you just feeling like
I'm just not
bussing,
right, bro? I'm thinking like this, bro. If you doing your thing and I'm over there trying to do my thing with you, and you ain't got the money to pay me, or you ain't in a position where you can, but I gotta go do this over here, then I gotta go where I can provide for myself.
Right.
That's not now this nigga doing this, I don't think so. Now we better put the boss on this nigga. Now you an enemigo. No, stupid. I ain't got nothing but love for you. However, you ain't able to hold me down correctly in the way I feel like I need to be held down. So you stay right here. I'm going to go over here and handle my business so I'm able to.
It's that scenario of, you know.
And that,
when am I getting, you know what I'm saying? When is my turn to get shit?
I ain't even really tripping on that. It's like, okay, I can't eat here. You want a nickel and dime, a brother?
So basically that was what happened.
Yeah.
I want to put out a project.
And
hold the brakes on.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to make sure you got a bologna sandwich and some potato chips. But then
after that, you don't get no juice box. You don't get no cookies. Now, you've been in jail because they had a sandwich and don't have a juice box. Nigga, you grumpy. Because fuck you mean?
Yes, indeed.
I need a juice box, my nigga. The sandwich, all that shit is good. But you're going to need your juice box. And you're going to need your apples, too. And your oranges. Be 3 o'clock in the morning and you dehydrated. Nigga, you're going to wish you had that orange. Or that apple. Hey, so that's all I'm saying.
Let me ask you this, X. Do you think by you and Suge playing ball together at UNLV, your relationship was a little bit different?
Yeah.
Because I noticed the other cats didn't tend to give him that resistance that you did.
I don't know about all that. I mean, I don't know. You know, I think we probably took shit a little further than if I had been just a normal artist that didn't have that background,
mm-hmm.
You understand me? So But he also knew that I knew who he was and he knew who I was, and I wasn't even about that life. I ain't never been no super out weirdo. Like, nigga, whoop, nah, homie. But I was always defensive. If you bring it to my yard, then you better be ready to. You brought that over here, nigga. You can, I mean, I'm from Long Beach, so you, I know how to do what it can do what it do.
Let me ask you this. I don't think nobody ever asked before. Did y'all ever tussle?
Yeah, we got him.
Are you and Suge actually scrapped?
Yeah. What? Ding, ding, ding. Nigga, get these hands. For the gang time, wrestled all that. Kicked, nigga, threw helmets. See, my whole thing, when I used to fight back in the days, and I'm like, but usually it was offensive linemen. First thing we do, we lie. We lie. Nigga, I got him locked. I go to kicking the motherfucker. Boom! 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 Because we lie. Boom! I go to straight kicking him. Oh, man. Yeah, we done had, we was there. All the damn time, bro. All the damn time. And it wasn't like nothing personal. We way out there balling for real.
Do you think it was his football attitude different than his death row attitude?
Nah, not really. Sugar Bear was Sugar Bear. And the reason I got to say Sugar Bear, because everybody be, why do you call him Sugar Bear? Sugar Bear is a name that I got from one of my player partners, David Hollis. David Hollis, Gardena Denver Lane. Mm-hmm. Played at Gardena High. He came up there. Suge was coming from El Camino. Boo, boo, boo. The L.A. thing. Suge was out there doing this shit, and they was talking about how sweet Suge's feet was, because they was. Sugar Bear was... And they couldn't do nothing with him, and that's how he got the name Sugar Bear. Well, nigga, Sugar Bear got broke down to Suge. And then Suge Knight turned into something else when he started rap, when we got to this rap thing. But that's how it all came about. So it was always all love. You dig? All my niggas from Anthony Blue, shout out to him. You dig? Hot Dog, Charles Demery. These is all cats that went to Keenan McCardell, you know, Randall, Ick. You dig? So,
X, I want to ask you a question, man. You know, me and you have some conversations sometimes offline about just the whole spiritual warfare that be going on in this, you know, just this industry, the little dark stuff, man. Do you think, man, at a time, especially the 90s, especially that time period that we was in, man, you know, the late 90s, man, the early 2000s and stuff, man, do you think it was like a satanic influence going around a little bit, man?
I don't know if you know. If it was, I ain't know nothing about it, because we was rebuking Satan in my house. My mom and my aunties rebuking everything we could. I would say more so now, mm-hmm. now than when we was growing up. Because right now, Shit is way out.
A lot of the moms and a lot of the households was really church infested.
Infested. Then, you know, wasn't going to do none of that crazy.
None of that satanic, yeah, none of that crazy shit.
You wouldn't have been able to come in with painted nails.
Black
and
households.
You wouldn't have got beat down like and sent to an institution.
Painted black nails.
Yeah, they would have been like, oh, your little cousin, me? I would have had a couple of my little cousins would have pulled. They not my little cousins, some of my big cousins too would pull up and say, "Oh yeah, cuz I heard you with your black nails and shit, cuz you finna beat the brakes off you." Yeah, cuz we can holler at you, cuz what
the whole family.
Oh like, my god, cuz what you then, like, man. Nigga, what you into, cuz like on the set? I don't know about none of that shit, cuz you do, nigga. You gonna take that shit up off you, or you?
Hey, you know what
now? It's called freedom of expression.
Yeah,
freedom of expression.
But see, they didn't have all them laws and non-binary and none of that stuff when we was growing up. Nigga, you gonna get your ass beat.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's getting crazy right now.
Nigga still said, yeah.
Yeah, it's getting crazy.
With no non-biased. Nigga, the fuck? Girl, the fuck?
That nigga said, we didn't have none of that shit.
There was a whole bunch of shit. And that's the shit X I'm talking about, though, man, because you hear these stories now, man, of people of all the cats that was messing, I guess, with the young girls and shit back then, and they just coming up, the stories is coming up now, and it's just a whole bunch of messages. But you know what? We ain't going to get into all that.
Yeah, I don't know where that side came.
We'll go
somewhere else, man. You know, during that time, man, you wound up writing one of the biggest songs that was on there, which was "Let Me Ride." That was supposed to be your record at first, right? That was your joint at first, right?
Yeah.
Is it a version out there with your vocals on it somewhere?
No. I wasn't. I mean, I probably could have. My folks broke it down to me, like, X, you own this, you could do. No. I really felt in my heart.
Was it a song you had already?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
And everything. Yeah. So what did you do? Just present it to him?
No, I actually was talking to Snoop. You know, and I was, you know, I always wanted to kind of, I never thought, oh, nigga, I'm so hard, I could just do some shit. And I never thought that. I always wanted to feed some off some of my loved ones. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what I was doing. And it was a beat playing. I don't think I was actually talking to Dre. I was talking to Snoop about, creeping down the back street on these. I got my God, cock, the niggas want these. No sooner as I said it, that nigga Dre said, what is that? I said, oh, just a point I was thinking about. He was like, nigga, do you know that we got to talk? He said, X, you know that if I take that and finish the song, y'all finish that song today, nigga, the album done. We have been working on the chronic for a long ass time. And to hear Dre say the album was done, man, you can have that song, cuz. We done. I'm going to write another one for me. Don't even trip. But the homie want that. Get to him.
Shit, that was a good look, though.
Get to him.
That was a good look. Did you anticipate it was going to turn out to be as big as it did?
Get to him. No. I had no idea the Chronic was going to be as big as it is. I didn't know nothing. I was just being my nigga.
My nigga
say, hey man, we need you to come through RBX. Okay, cuz I got you. I wasn't in it. My heart, I didn't know nothing about it. Now, matter of fact, I sat on I was at Dre house. We was in Calabasas, and me and DLC was talking, OC Shay. I just listened to the album in its entirety, and it's a motherfucker. And I was like, And he said, what you think it's gonna do? I don't know. I said maybe 500,000 copies, maybe platinum, maybe gold. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's what we strived for.
You know, we were.
Yeah.
I said gold or platinum. I said it's a good little ditty. I thought it was hot, but I thought for me to say, "Oh, nigga, we finna be 25 times platinum," would have been some bullshit. Because I had never.
Your mind wasn't even thinking that high.
I could've. I mean, I'm thinking that high, but for other artists in the other genres, you did. I think a rap don't do that. I'm thinking more like some Whitney type shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, rap ain't, we ain't finna do no 5 million, nigga. That's crazy. That nigga DOC said, shit, nigga, that's Dr. Dre, nigga. I just listened to the record. He said, nigga, that record bang from the beginning. He said, it's gonna be about a 5-6 million joint. I said, oh, see, you want some bullshit, nigga. Hit the weed, my nigga.
My nigga said, nigga, you tripping, nigga. Hit the weed, nigga.
And that shit blew the fuck up, nigga. Like,
when did you realize that it was some shit, though?
When it dropped that Tuesday and I went to Venice Beach with the homegirl. Thursday, and every motherfucking car had the Chronic that we pulled up when we got off the motherfucking freeway. As soon as we got off the freeway and started heading toward the beach, every time we pull up, dun, 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 dun. I said, okay. Dun, 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 dun. I'm like, every fucking car, and I'm like, that's kind of odd. Like, every car, the lowriders, the essays, the Filipinos, like, everybody.
You ain't pull up on nobody when they was playing your verse.
Yeah, I did a few times. And it was queer because you'd be wanting to be like, you do that much. But ain't nothing you can
do. Seven execution style murders. And I just be like,
what? Well, I had never witnessed a blow up like that. And it was blowing the fuck up. We drove all the way down. Everybody was bumping the Chronic, everybody. Then we got to the beach. The motherfuckers walking down the boardwalk with the Chronic and doo-doo. I'm like, what? Nobody know who I am, though. Nobody knows shit. I'm just walking on. We just, me and a honker, we go get something to eat, look at some pictures, get back in the car, we driving back, and it's the same shit. And I'm like,
yeah, because it wasn't like niggas had pictures and shit. And this is RBX, and this is Dad.
I didn't know who I was. Dad. I was just hearing all this music going on, and I'm like, wow. Wow.
Yeah, we quite wasn't in the era that we in right now. Yeah, well, everything is everywhere. Yeah.
Social media.
We had none of that. Shit going. We had none of that. We had none of that. And then I think I got to the house and we was listening to Kurt Loder on MTV, and he was talking about the Chronic, and I'm like, the Chronic, yeah. And I just took it. I was like, yeah. I was on that record. I didn't have no idea what it was gonna do. I didn't know.
When did you get your first plaque? What you say?
I didn't go get it.
You didn't go get it? You still ain't got your plaques? X, you got to go get those, my nigga.
In my life, nigga, I was at the back of the counter swap meet with Mel Tweet and nigga with Daddy V, nigga, and trying to drop off some work. Because me going up to that student to pick up this shit... Mm. For what, it wasn't going to do nothing for me.
It wasn't no money.
It wasn't, not a dime. It
wasn't no money.
They was like, you going to go get your Grammy plaque? Nah, I'm not.
Niggas, I got to eat, nigga.
Yeah. I said, I'm out here on these streets and shit. I said, when I get to Hollywood, and one day, now I think I talked to them, and they was like, well, you got to do this, and you got to show and prove you. Then we can give you the plaques. Yeah, we got you. We got this. We got one with 18. And I thought, well, I'm taking care of my grandmama right now, honey. I'm gonna do with all this shit.
Ain't no money.
I can't put this shit, and then I gotta store this shit. This is a whole bunch of shit. When was it this shit? I'll get this shit later. I'll probably get it later. One day I'll have them fix me some shit when I get in my crib, and I think
motherfucker look up and like all these accolades of shit.
Yeah, when I post up,
nigga, I was getting 7 cents.
I was moving cents. The groove. That shit wasn't. It wasn't for me. I mean, I got the awards and I showed enough appreciated everything you did. Mm-hmm. It just is. I go get it later.
You know what though? Y'all had some dope ass moments over there, dog. Do you remember that you was at the Source Awards that year? That's the year that Quick was up on stage doing the bullshit, came in with bullshit. That shit must have been a motherfucker that year, dog. Pressure cooker that year. How many niggas was you with in the audience, eh? I know you probably had all...
I flew about 10 dudes.
You probably had the whole hood up in that motherfucker.
No, I flew about 10 dudes out there. It was just tension time because not even... It wasn't even for the fact of you know, Quick and Death Row and all that. It was New York. You get me? It was just being in New York, man, I got along with a lot of motherfuckers in New York. To this day, man, New York motherfuckers is like, I've had so much respect from niggas in New York and dudes I've worked with and all that, but it was tension around then. You know what I'm saying? And then we were some gang banging ass niggas and shit, when you feel like, I always felt like New York was like they looked at us a little differently because how we represented hip hop. You know what I'm saying? And even though we had our rap rappers, You know what I'm saying? We had Young MCs and we had motherfucking Hieroglyphics and, you know, we had Souls of Mischief and Dale the Funky Hopeless Homo Sapien. And then we had dudes like, you know, we had Cypress Hill and we had, you know, we had shit outside.
Razzcast.
We had shit outside of just CMW and Dre and X and whatever.
But it was a lot of parody on the West Coast.
Yeah, we had,
Still, there's a lot of parody.
Definitely. We had diversity on the West Coast, but our standout was our shit. You get me? Our standout was that struggle neighborhood rap. You get me? So,
and that's what I took to.
Going to New York was always tension because we always felt like we were looked upon like slightly down.
Gangbangers.
And we were just, you know, and like I said, I used to go to New York all the time. It was hard niggas in New York.
Let me ask y'all this. Did anybody out there disappoint y'all? Like, because, you know, I heard it was motherfuckers out there booing niggas and all kind of shit. Was it anybody in particular that y'all saw tripping that kind of disappointed y'all?
You talking about
as far as at like the Source artists, Awards, like at the Source Awards and shit.
Man, at that time, it was just a lot of tension in the audience. Like I said, that was my second Source Awards.
I don't even think that was no industry shit though, dog. I don't think that. I think that was like more of the media kind of propelled that shit, dog.
About, you know, about the tension.
About the East Coast, West Coast shit and all that shit. I don't think that shit was about necessarily. You know,
on mine. That never bothered me, the East Coast. That's why me and Chris did the East Coast, West Coast killer. That's what we was talking about. That shit never bothered me. Moreover than that situation, I think when I was moving my CDs on the block and had to incur and run into certain cats that you thought they was going to have love for you and respect the fact that you on the block pushing your line and they don't, I'm pushing my line. I'm in Crenshaw. I'm at the barbershop. Wow, woo, wow. I'll run out of CDs. Hurt my heart. It's 10 cats on CDs. I only got like 4. So I dropped the 4 off. I say, I'm going to go to the car and grab some more. I come back. Evil E think I leave. He was like, man, that's RBX, man. He just fell a way long way from grace. He ain't about shit right now. Why he out here selling his CDs? And I was, I didn't have time to explain to him. No, bro, this is me. I ain't no bud. I got cake. You don't see that banner outside? Nigga, that's my shit. I said, but this is a way that I can go get my money. Do my music the way I want to do my music without some white A&R that don't know nothing about us or our music in our shit. And I can push 1,000 units today. Or if I got a bill, I can push 3. It's whenever I want. And I like the independence of it.
Did you turn down deals?
Yeah.
Did you have like Atlantix or Epix or Sony's?
I had folks was like, X, you could come over here and you have a situation. However, every situation had their little strings. You're going to dance over here, or they was trying to get at me because they was trying to get at some of my folks, or they needed a couple of my folks on the album. To make it
something like, so it was that, you know, contingent. We'll sign you if you can get Snoop on the record. Or if you can get Dre to do something.
Or if you get the disrespect in this right here, or if you stay on your death row Discord. But what if I want to do something like this? Okay, well, we not going to work because I'm not going to have you telling me that I'm on the streets. I'm on the block every day. I listen to my cats every day. And that's not what you're talking about. That's not conducive.
Was there any deals that was presented to you that you felt like you should, now that you look back on it, is there any deals that you felt like I should have took that?
Yeah.
So there was no record deals from any labels, you know, oh, we got $1 million or we got 250 for you, or we got, you know, you didn't feel like, man, let me take this check and go and do these 3-4 albums.
Nah, I mean, we was going to do something. Rest in peace, my brother CPO, the heavyweights, hard in the yard. But they couldn't get the business right.
That was going to go through Snoop's label, right, Doggy Style?
They couldn't
right?
get the business right. I think it was E1 or something. I'm not exactly knowing what really happened, but they couldn't get the business right. And I think Vince was having health issues.
Definitely.
And I was willing to walk with my dog. If I could get him a walker, I'll push that motherfucker. Well, whatever the fuck we got to do. But I don't think everybody, or some of the people that was supposed to be helping us push this project was all with that. We get a couple joints, Gangsta Nostra, but I don't know, bro. Shit crazy.
Yeah, you think with his health issues, you think that kind of turns some of the people off at the label, kind of?
Yeah, definitely, because they ain't there. This industry don't give no fucks about you, homie. And if you're going to be needy and no, they didn't give a fuck. They just want you on the stage, make their money, woo, 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 getting their money. If anything, kind of love and any kind of, that's not what the industry do.
Yeah, because the homie got
big. That's not what the industry do.
Rest in peace, CPO, one of our.
That's not what the industry do.
Yeah, one of our better lyricists from out here, dog.
Okay, that's my nigga.
One of our better lyricists, CPO, was tight.
That's my guy. Rest in peace.
CPO was real tight, man.
Yeah. That's crazy. Like you said, I bet you a lot of people don't think about, you know, because I don't know, when people look at celebrities, they think celebrities are what, invincible or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm pretty sure during your career, you done got sick as a motherfucker, had to go to the doctor.
I had two strokes.
How would you feel about, you know what I'm saying, you making all this money for labels and all that shit? Motherfuckers don't have proper health insurance.
They don't have no, they don't.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Do you think, like, motherfuckers signing to labels and shit? Because I'm pretty sure a motherfucker who work upstairs, who working on the computer and who, you know, getting your posters and your programming shit together.
He got health insurance.
Exactly. But yeah, you're making insurance. A label, motherfucking tens of millions of dollars.
I mean, and I think, why
you don't think labels offer that to artists when they sign them? That should be put. I'm like, why shouldn't that be put in the contract as part of your contract? Oh, motherfucker, you gonna pay for me some health insurance?
It should for sure be in your contract. It would be
if Cass was enlightened to the fact. You know,
I mean, like I said, because I wasn't.
I wasn't either. But now they got contracts.
Look here.
Now they got contracts.
If you slightly bangy, why couldn't the motherfucker?
Nigga, they gonna put some insurance on your life, nigga. The fuck?
Oh yeah, they for sure getting insurance on these
on whatever. And I mean, you think about it, it really sounds foul. It really does. However, business is foul. Ain't nothing loving in business. So it's a business ploy, a move. If you spending $2 million on a situation, unless you just want to give your money away, that's usually investment. The $2 million, you striving to get $4 million back. Two you put in plus the two you get back. So if you got a situation out there that you investing in, they go crazy and get the wilding out because they looking out for their interest. Like, oh, this nigga done flipped out. You done put a gun on this nigga, that nigga, and that. They gonna try to knock your head off. I done invested $2 million in your punk ass. Man, I got to go get some insurance because if they knock this nigga head off, that's how they thinking. They not from the hood, so they not thinking hood. They probably never going to think hood. So that's what the fuck is going on.
That's crazy as hell that you say that, man. And we got a whole bunch of young brothers losing their life now, man. Like, you know, you just had the little homie from the Migos lost his life.
Right, over some dumb shit.
Dumb shit. And you know, you had the young boy that came out here from Philly, PNB Rock, lost his life. I had rest in peace to both of those kids. And they, you know.
Kids,
though.
I'm thinking, damn, I seen brother. And sometimes I wish I could just hit my little Rolodex and just, man, let me get that nigga number real quick. Hey, homie, you talking real whackless. You in L.A., I don't care how hard you are. There's rules out here. And the last thing you want to do is be on the thing. They got ain't niggas, man, I don't give, they ain't hard enough. There's somebody hard enough in L.A.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it. When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential. The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days,
ooh,
It would have been, the podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
The era you come from, do you feel responsible?
No, I don't feel responsible.
You don't feel responsible for the music that was created in our era as far as what the youth are doing today? Do you feel responsible for how that happened?
No, I don't.
Because a lot of people push the narrative and say that it's because of our musical influence on those youth back in the days is why shit is so fucked up nowadays.
No.
Because MC8 talked about the hood took him under, or Drive By Miss Daisy.
I listened to that shit. Right. The hood that took me under, Chia. Nigga, I heard you, nigga. I seen you, all that shit. Nigga, that is my shit. Come give me some that. But no, in all honesty, we got to police ourselves and trying to find a scapegoat and a ploy. It was him. No, it wasn't. That era that we talked about was the Rodney King era. And we really wasn't talking about splatting our homies. We was really splatting the cops. I'm going to keep it a buck because they was the ones beating us in front of the... So these are the ones we was really... That's where a lot of the tension come from. It's not a lot of songs that we was making that we was like, go get arms and go out and kill people that look like you. That wasn't the sentiment. The sentiment was we going to be hard in yard because they trying to knock us down. Mm-hmm. And
I think people get it confused because
they not from here.
People get it confused because, you know, if you would take example of songs that I made, Nigga Struggling, Growing Up in the Hood, The Hood Took Me Under. I think people get it confused because of the tales we told about the situations of our era. You know, when I made songs like that, I basically wanted to describe anyone in general who grew up like I was.
That Long Beach, Compton, Watts, LA, that shit.
I when I talked about, you know, niggas jumped in the six tray and rolled around the corner and got into a drive-by, it's because I'm telling you the scenario of what's happening in my neighborhood. What happens when dudes retaliate?
Yeah, you reporting on your community.
I'm reporting.
Giving you
I didn't make songs where I said, go to XYZ hood and then look for little doo-doo and then kill little doo-doo. I didn't make songs like,
it seems
like a lot of the songs nowadays are, you go,
they going straight into Walmart checkers.
I'm from 88th Street, and we don't like niggas from...
Anything from 88.
Yeah, we don't like niggas from 84th Street. And then there's Juju. And then there's little Pookie. And then there's little Dodo.
And they got last night
we smoked little Dodo and Wolfie.
And nigga, fuck his girl. Nigga, fuck your bitch.
And as niggas who claim neighborhoods, you've always had beef. You get me? I don't give a fuck. We had beef with the niggas over there, and you had beef with this neighborhood. But my songs weren't like, hey, niggas in my hood, let's go to that hood over there smoke little JoJo and little Woomty Woom. Then we're going to run back to the studio, and then I'm going to get on video, record, and then I'm going to talk about how little KK smoked little doo-doo, and then we over here, and we smoking on little doo-doo packs right now. It's just so aggressive.
Yeah, these niggas
it's
crazy.
It's so aggressive.
I think the aggression is just lost. It's just they don't They don't know what a...
Have you had a nigga... Have you had one of these little... You know, You probably done had it. Like, the aggression that people have on social media now. And they'll come in your DMs and they'll be like, oh, nigga, fuck you still. Oh, nigga, I'll smoke your ass, nigga. Man,
I don't hear all that.
It'll be a nigga from Alaska. Talking about, nigga, you come to Alaska, nigga. Soon as you come to Alaska.
You know what I hit him with, my nigga? God bless you, homie.
Why are they so angry?
Though?
I forgot. It was some minor shit. And the motherfucker called me and told me, "Oh, you hating on Tupac?" And I said, "No, I'm not hating on Pac.
The fans be real aggressive nowadays. Just like they say when you go to a basketball game or whatever, and the fans just be like, they be ready to fight you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They talk shit to the players. It's like the level of what fans go through nowadays is crazy because, like you said, motherfuckers just be willing to take it to that extra level.
Well, when Leo's eight, you think about it, for the first time in history, a person at home is actually able to reach out
and get at any motherfucker.
And have access to you and your life and what you got going on 24 hours a day. In no time, whether it's through your Instagram channel, whether it's through your TikTok, whether it's through your Twitter.
They follow your phone and see where you at.
Can you imagine what a motherfucker could have did back in the days if they could have just picked up the phone or something and called Michael or Prince?
That's what I'm saying, dog.
Do y'all remember this? Remember when you used to leave your house and you had a phone call you wouldn't know until you got back home?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you the funny thing about nowadays, too. When a nigga tells you...
Before voicemail was a step up.
Yeah. But a nigga will tell you today, they will actually get mad if they can't get in touch with you. People have too much access.
Niggas is spoiled.
To where they get mad. Because I had a dude tell me one day, I've been busy. I've been running. A lot of stuff going on. Like, almost like upset. Like, man, I called you five times. Why didn't you? Why do I have to call you back? I don't have to call shit if I don't want to. I loved how I was back in the day because the motherfucker just caught you when they could.
No, right. Pagers. That was the best shit ever. Beat me. Remember that? Mm. Hey, Cal, beat me. Then you ain't got to pick your phone up. You turn that motherfucker off. Hell no, nah, little smiley face upside down. Fuck that. I'll call that nigga. Then you can get out of motherfucker at your prerogative.
People got too much access nowadays.
Right.
And see, I'm going to tell you.
And that's your problem. No, because you let a motherfucker all in your yard. Check this out, nigga. That motherfucker ring till it starts smoking.
You know what it is, though? Hey, too. These fans really feel like motherfuckers is their friends. Like, there's some people that really feel like Tupac is their homeboy.
Oh, definitely.
Like, and they riding for him. It's a motherfucker somewhere right now, like, fuck RBX. He said this about Tupac. Or fuck Steel. He said this and that. You know, they act like Tupac is their friend, dog. Like, it's their homeboy. And they know everything about him. They probably don't wrote his mama letters. They probably went out and visited the house. The cousins, they support everything. So they really feel like when Glasses did that shit, that Tupac Must Die shit, we was up to three or four o'clock in the morning in my crib talking about that. I was like, man, you cannot put this record. You can't put this record out with that title on there. I thought somebody was going to do something to Glasses, dog.
I mean, because fans get irate.
Yeah, people get, we got crazy emails, dog. Like people talking about, I'm going to fuck him up when I see him and I'm going to cut him into pieces. Just crazy shit, though.
Fans be really irate with celebrities.
To give you an example of how fanatic, it kind of scared me, but I'm built like that. I'm Wes. When that situation with brother from Inglewood, when he went to, and he was talking all them Inglewood niggas as weirdos, he got to the concert and they hit him. I was like, that goes back to that aggressive stance that we spoke on. Back in the days we was coming up, we was talking aggressive. We was talking that shit, and shit used to pop. But right now, with the advent of the social media and shit, you could be in real time with your enemigos, nigga. They outside with me. Well, come on in then, show me. The fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
What situation was that? I don't remember.
Well, it's just like you said, fans and people look at you in different lights, and then you have to learn how to avoid a lot of confrontational bullshit. A lot of us, you know, grew up to where, you know, we felt invincible or nobody could whatever, but
now we older.
Yeah, you have to learn how to, you know, avoid conflict.
De-escalate.
And you have to learn how to avoid situations that might put you or your people in harm's way. Because, like you said, there's a lot of irate people, you know, who, you know, I like your enemy, you know. Or like you said, I love Tupac. There's nothing you can say about Tupac, you know. There's, you know, fans kill celebrities all day.
Fanatical, John Lennon.
Don't give a fuck.
John Lennon, and the dude that shot him said he loved him.
So that's the position you put yourself in.
And that's the crazy part about it, right there.
As far as being or becoming a celebrity.
You dig? He shot him. I love John Lennon. You know?
Crazy, right? Motherfuckers crazy.
Sometimes, see, a lot of motherfuckers be thinking celebrities be on some bullshit like me, bro. I don't even think people recognize who I am most of the time. I be a State of Brothers, Lucky's Ralph. I just move and groove. People stare at me every now and then. I'm moving too fast to stop and kowtow to the bullshit.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I got to keep my eyes up because, like, what's the weirdest shit is when a motherfucker know who you are, but you don't know who they are.
Yeah, you know, LeBron just broke the scoring record.
Yeah. Oh, he did.
LeBron, it took Ohio nigga to come out here for the Lakers. Ohio nigga to come out here for the Lakers to break the NBA scoring record.
It don't matter where you from, it's your brother. Shit. Fuck all that, nigga. And he represents the
Lakers. Still say, nigga, this
you know what I'm saying?
He tried it, cuz.
Exactly, Lakers. Exactly.
It'd have been even sweeter if he'd have been the Cavaliers uniform.
I'm still proud for the brother.
No, I'm happy for
the brother. Yeah, I like Bron. Bron be out there trying to do his day.
For sure.
He ain't.
And you don't never hear his name in no bullshit, though.
Yeah, man, shout out to Bron.
Some people don't get caught up in bullshit.
Shout out to Bron Breezy.
Some people learn how to avoid bullshit.
Yeah. I think he too big.
I'm trying to be that type of motherfucker.
Right.
Hell yeah.
Avoid confrontation. Don't get caught up in no bullshit.
Right,
when a nigga mention your name, it's always, it's
Bron Breezy. On a whole nother level.
When a nigga mention your name, it's always positive.
Talk about the floating pool to go around the house. When you get in the woo-wop-whoop and you floating in it, you just put the button and it just floats you. Yeah.
X, what the fuck is the woo-wop-whoop, my nigga? XBR talk about the whoop, whoop, whoop.
My nigga got his all day. That's that old language shit around here. You know what I'm saying? My nigga said when you in the whoop, 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 wink, wink.
Hey, you know what I always want to ask
that's
you?
Less dry snitching productions.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong,
and asthmatic, and at higher risk. get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You know what I always wanted to ask you, though, dog? How many times was you signed to Dre?
To Dre?
Yeah.
Once.
Just the one time. So after you left, once you left Death Row, right?
Signed to Death Row.
Oh, so you never signed to Death Row?
Fuck, no.
So, once Dre got his own situation,
they presented me with everything. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I'm not going to be able to do it. Then you understand?
That nigga said.
You told the niggas no.
That nigga said, sorry, sir.
Wait, you left the building. I'm not going to be able to
do it. Nah. Nigga,
But Snoop signed. So
Snoop wanted to sign.
He wanted to sign.
He wanted to. I didn't want to.
Why you didn't want to?
Because I didn't like the way Suge was handling shit. At first, here go my thing. When we was all family, we was all family. When he gets to the point where you talking to niggas like, okay, well, I'm going to have my orders come down. They going to have more. Your orders? How many I'm not your orders, bro? We was just family a minute ago. Now you want to talk that. And the tone became condescending, like you belittling me. Like, I'm an artist. Like, they going some bullshit.
Did you see the attitude change?
Yeah, I seen the attitude change. That's why I act like I acted. But I said, I'm here to support my cousin Snoop. That's all I gave a fuck about.
And they probably said that you was like cancerous to the situation.
Yeah, they said that. Yeah, I was all that, my nigga. I don't care. I was striving for righteousness. And sometimes it ain't always comfortable. Because if I seen you finna run into a motherfucking house that's burning, I'm going to tell you, nigga, you might not want to put them gasoline pants on.
Did you tell Snoop not to sign?
Yeah. I told everybody. Nigga, I can say that right here. I say, hey, right now, we pushing the line. We the writers and the artists. I say, we going to hold Dre down. I say, but Suge and them can't do what they doing. When they give you that paperwork, you supposed to be able to have your lawyer look over to make sure that the thing is correct.
It was here signed now?
Nigga. And my niggas was thinking, nigga, shit, I'm finna pay some rent, go give me some dope.
My niggas, cut. My niggas say, cut. Was it a check attached to the contract?
Huh?
Was it a check attached to the contract?
Nigga, wasn't no check. Nigga, it was a pile of motherfucking hundreds.
Yeah?
Yeah, nigga. Come over here, sign this paperwork, and get your Nigga was getting sign that paperwork, and that 1, 2, 3.
So they was giving niggas some big money?
Some thousands. It wasn't no big money. I had that in my car.
So you just said no one. Right. And everybody looked at you and said, man, he just trying to fuck up everything.
Yeah, RBS, you an asshole.
Nigga, take this $5,000.
Take this motherfucker.
That nigga said I ain't going for it. And whenever you nigga that don't want to do it for it, you all kind of cancers and assholes and all kind of shit.
Nigga, you about to be large, nigga. Take this, nigga. Take this 40-ounce pack of Newports and this $5,000.
Nigga, I got 2 coupons for some 40s, nigga. Nigga, I got the hookup with $100, nigga. Fuck with your boy.
That nigga said, nigga, like a lawyer. Nigga, if you don't.
What did they say to you when you said no, though, X?
RBX, you was on some bullshit.
You won't, nigga, look.
RBX, you on some bullshit. This you the only nigga going against the grain on the family, nigga. This a family, nigga. This the Death Row family, nigga. Everybody moving and grooving the same kind of way. And while you acting like that, okay, that's what's up. I don't give a fuck what everybody doing.
Was you there in the beginning?
Yeah.
What happened to the situation with 3-2 and Big Mike?
Nigga, they was on.
What happened?
Well, through all the shit that we was going through, we was broke too.
Right? Everybody was broke.
Bro.
They was out here living in the apartment.
They was out here, right. And it was probably about a week and a half before the money.
Because they was the jump off. Big Mike and 3T was supposed to be the jump off of Death Row.
Right before the money popped, Lord 3-2 got kind of restless. Big Mike kind of wanted to hang on for another week. He was like, man, we doing it. Lord was like, man, fuck this. I'm out of here, big baby.
That's my nigga. Like Lord.
That's my nigga right there.
I'm out of here, bitch. Big baby. Big baby, I'm out this bitch, big baby.
Big baby,
I'm out of here, big baby. RBS, I love you to death, big baby, but I got to go on back to H-Town, big baby. These niggas ain't trying to play it. And I'm like, I know, my nigga. We was barely making it. You know, I was going up to the studio on the 60, Long Beach Boulevard. Uh-huh. Mom stayed by Houghton Park. I used to hop on a boo-boo-boo, we'd slide through. Then I had to slide through Boulevard. You know, Greenleaf.
Greenleaf, right there.
That apartment.
Yeah.
Nigga, that ain't like Insane in 20s. Well, they knew was I was on that bus would have got disassembled.
Yeah.
And I rode over there a couple of times, nigga, to be gang about 15, 16, 17 CC riders, maybe 10 old hoods. Mm. Oh, it's about 40 niggas over there. And I'm from the east side in the wrong area every day. I had to get my bus, woo, 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 and be up there putting the chronic in, you know? Niggas was laughing at me. Thinking it wasn't ever gonna work. Why the fuck is you going up there on the bus? For some strange reason, I said, oh, maybe we gonna make it. I didn't know we was gonna make it or not. I just knew that was something to do other than just hanging out, going to hang out with the homies.
And the nigga working with Dr. Dre.
Yeah, I thought that was better better than just hanging out.
When you catch, same shit with me. Everything was the hood. Everything was the hood. Yeah. Everything, I'm talking about from the time you wake up in the morning, you go to the hood, you're hanging out. Yeah, all hanging day, out. You're eating with niggas. Let's go half on the Philly cup. Some chicken cut. Let's go half on a five piece. And you really be feeling like this is life. Like
that's some real shit.
This is life for us. You know what I'm saying? Niggas gonna sell a couple of little crack pieces. We gonna piece that up part. On some. We gonna piece
anything.
Up,
you gonna can always get a,
some 40s and shit.
Nigga always so, get a double up 200.
When
and,
you when you like the same shit happened for me when I met Slipping Them, and I got introduced to the studio. And nigga, I would go over there. Niggas get to turning on shit and hitting buttons. And there's the microphone. And there's the beats going. It was just something that just like you try. Like I tried to like hood, but it just got to turning because I'm like, man, niggas over here ain't doing nothing. There. We
no.
Nigga, and it's eight of us on the block. We all got packs. And nigga, ain't but one car coming at a time. So we all trying to hit the car at once. And then, look at my shit.
Let me tell you where that went down the worst at. Santa Fe. On Santa Fe, back by them back apartments, by the post office. Niggas are coming, throw their whole stone in your car.
And we used to drive off.
Life was greedy back then.
But like I said,
we had morals.
We had morals because a lot of us had mama still in the house.
It was morals and backbones. You wasn't doing the shit they doing nowadays.
No, like I tell motherfuckers, you had no hope of nothing else.
Right.
This is it right here. This it. Right? So when you latched on to that, niggas at the studio, you go to that motherfucker once and that bug catch you.
And then you get one check. And you get one real check.
I didn't get no check. I was just fascinated.
I got a check.
Coming from the block, I was fascinated to go to the studio and see the shit develop. Like you said, it was another interest from, I'm going to go to the block today and hang out.
And what else? Right.
That was the routine. Now it's like, I'm going to Slip House. This nigga got turntables and he DJing. And then he knew rappers. You get me? So I'm coming over a little banged out nigga trying to see what's, and nigga, it's actual rappers walking in and they making songs and getting on the mic and I'm sitting there interested. Like it was another interest and that's what turned, you know what I'm saying? And you had hood niggas like, nigga, I start showing up to the hood. Usually it was Trag New Park sweatshirts and then now you know I'm wearing Compton's Most Wanted shit and rap shit. Right. Niggas is like, what Brandon. The fuck is that shit?
I'm branding
where's
myself.
Where's your neighborhood shit? Why you got CMW on your shirt? Why you ain't got Trag New on your shirt?
But then, it starts the same new, but listen, shit. I remember that. And then all of a sudden, they'll see a motherfucking movie come on and they'll hear eight songs like, don't nobody say yeah, like cheer, that's eight. Oh, that shit start happening. Then you start transforming the street shit, the Trag News and the Woop Wop Woop for Compton Most Wanted. Like this nigga starting to brand himself cuz it's getting big. I remember when you was funking with Cub.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, they funking. Black Tone, my nigga.
Mm-hmm.
Quick, my nigga. You was my nigga, remember? Right, every count I said I ride through have Compton killed every rapper except eight. I said this is back in the day.
Yeah, you sure did.
I'm at All Star getting some dating fixed or something. All of a sudden I get rolled down on by like eight niggas for what? Yeah, nigga. Ain't you that nigga? What nigga? The nigga RBX. Yeah, I'm RBX. Yeah, nigga, you say you a smash every whopper in Compton except Aiden. And what you say about Watts? I said, nigga, I smacked, nigga, I told him the whole, nigga, it was a rap verse, homie.
Yeah, niggas took shit personal.
I said, it was a rap verse, homie. We in the street now, what's happening?
That's when we used South Central, got smoked
like smash, when got smoked like, bruh. And we was on the block, nigga, watch niggas, we wouldn't. Just so happens, a couple of the wife niggas like the way I held myself. They just don't give a fuck about what you saying. It's how you hold yourself.
That's it.
If you run, if you tuck your tail and get to acting, then you probably gonna get into a shindig with these niggas. But I stood up, nigga. Nigga was a rap. Nigga, I was talking about some rap shit, my nigga. I'm from East Long Beach, cuz. They said, oh, that nigga ain't tripping like that. Leave that nigga alone. But that's how it really was. But that's when, that's why it's good to have morals and backbones.
Yeah, you were talking some shit, though. You said, in Inglewood, I'll cause a bloody bash. South Central got smoked like some ass. I remember that shit. I said, yeah, damn, this nigga's talking real crazy. Yeah,
he was fucking niggas up. That nigga said, I'll flash every nigga in country.
And that's all I knew. That was just me being me. That's that nigga that used to have to ride the motherfucking 60 to Hollywood every day.
But and y'all that, was really out there battling niggas from every neighborhood yeah, like nigga, that back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, nigga, then
you
had to
corrupt
get
and all of
yeah, then had to get, had to make sure when I'm in the studio that I got to watch the clock because at 12:40 is the last bus going my way. So I got to be on that last bus leaving Hollywood going downtown L.A. And if I miss that, then I'm walking from downtown L.A. to Long Beach.
Oh, and that could be ugly.
Oh, you see my hand? That was downtown L.A., cut from here.
Damn. It gets ugly.
Right. So niggas always talk about this rap shit. I mean, it might be sweet for some other niggas, but it was really rough. We was really out there. Niggas was really getting cut and shot and shit. So, fuck it.
It was going down.
So don't. So when you see me push up in the Maybach or something, don't think, oh, that nigga lucky because his folks looked out. Nigga, my folks, they looked out for shit. Nigga, I'm pushing my line on the block, nigga. You better find out.
Man, well, we appreciate you falling through again.
It's all
man.
Good.
We appreciate you.
It's all
you.
Good, man. It was fun coming through hollering at my nickels.
For sure. Then,
next time, it's going to be a feat. I'm going to have you call my agent. We finna go Hollywood.
See how niggas do
that? So it's going to be a feat, cuz. I'm going to have niggas get at my agent. Shit.
For sure.
That nigga X say, nigga, I'm charging fees next time. Nigga, I know what to do. I know what it do.
No, and y'all know what to do out there, man. Make sure y'all smash that like button, man. Plus subscribe or bless. Whatever the fuck it's on, man. We appreciate you. We out of here. We'll see you next week. We out.
Chill.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find a purple mic on the front of your screen, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles podcast are Norman Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MCA Tyler. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt, and our audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of iHeartMedia Network and the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.